Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, April 13th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
the search continues for the Brooklyn subway shooter. We are live with the latest.
The U.S. is preparing a new surge of military aid for Ukraine.
J.P. Morgan Chase kicks off bank earnings.
And investors brace for the latest inflation report.
New York's lieutenant governor has resigned after being arrested for bribery charges, plus more calls for U.K. Prime Minister Johnson to step down. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Nets beat the Cavs to advance to play the Celtics. A loss for the Rangers. Shutout wins for the Mets and Yankees.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are higher this morning. We are coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. I mean, check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up about 12 points. Dow futures up 84. NASDAQ futures up 55. The 10-year Treasury down 5/32nd, yield 2.74%. And the yield on the 2-year, 2.41%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% at $101.01 a barrel. Nathan.
Thanks, Karen. We'll have more on the markets in a minute. First, the manhunt is still on for a New York City shooter who opened fire during a morning rush hour incident at a subway station in Brooklyn. Bloomberg's Michael Barr is following all the developments and has the very latest for us live. What are you hearing, Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. The gunman in the Brooklyn subway shooting fired at least 33 bullets in the train, wounding 10 people. At least 13 others were injured. Police say the suspect put on a gas mask and set off two smoke bombs before he started shooting. Authorities are looking for a man who rented a U-Haul van they believe might be connected to yesterday's shooting. They have identified the man, believed to be a person of interest. NYPD Chief James Essick says Frank James has addresses in Philadelphia and Wisconsin.
We are endeavoring to locate him to determine his connection to the subway shooting, if any.
Chief Essex says a key to the rental van was found at the scene, along with a semi-automatic handgun, a hatchet, smoke grenades, and other items. In New York, Michael Barr, Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen?
All right, Michael Barr, thank you. We will be hearing updates on this developing story throughout the morning. And Tuesday's shooting on the New York City subway comes at a time when crime is rising in the city. Former New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio tells Bloomberg's Joe Matthew the incident represents a troubling trend about gun violence across America.
The pandemic created a host of problems, and one of them was the free flow of guns that intensified in the last 2 years. We need stronger federal efforts to cut those off before they ever get into big cities.
Former New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern or on Bloomberg Radio. And stay tuned for an interview with the current mayor of New York, Eric Adams. He sits down for a conversation on Bloomberg surveillance coming up at 8:45 a.m. Wall Street time.
All right, now to the latest on the war in Eastern Europe, Karen. The presidents of Poland and the three Baltic states are heading to Kiev in a show of support for Ukraine. Meanwhile, the Biden administration is preparing a military assistance package for Ukraine as President Biden doubles down on criticism of Vladimir Putin. Amy Morris has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
As President Biden spoke in Iowa about fuel prices and inflation, he accused Vladimir Putin of committing genocide in Ukraine. Then, before boarding Air Force One, he backed up those comments.
The evidence is mounting. It's different than it was last week. The more evidence is coming out of the horrible things that the Russians have done in Ukraine.
President Biden later added that lawyers would ultimately make that official determination. Putin said earlier peace negotiations with Ukraine are at a dead end. This as the administration prepares to ship weapons and other equipment to Ukraine, part of a $750 million package of military assistance. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Now to the markets and quarterly results from banks kick off this morning. We get more from Bloomberg Radio and Television correspondent Shanali Basak.
J.P. Morgan is the first of the big U.S. banks to report earnings, and investors are expecting trading volumes to really start to decline. However, net interest income is expected to rise, and that may start to offset some of the pressures in trading and investment banking. Net interest income will be dependent, however, on whether the yield curve remains under pressure. Investors will be looking for color on whether J.P. Morgan is also preparing for a recession that some investors expect to start as early as next year.
All right, Bloomberg Sonali Basak says expect earnings from J.P. Morgan Chase around 7 a.m. Wall Street time.
Well, while we wait for those corporate earnings, Karen, let's turn to the economy now. Inflation, once again, is in focus this morning with the release of the March Producer Price Index. We get more from Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
Supply chain disruptions from Russia's invasion of Ukraine and China's extensive COVID lockdown likely pushed producer prices higher during March, particularly for oil and agricultural commodities and Chinese consumer goods. U.S. factories have reported widespread concern over rising costs, with prices of energy, grain, and fertilizer near all-time highs. March consumer prices rose 8.5% over the past year, the fastest pace since 1981. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. Well, the Fed will be closely watching data today and in the run-up to their May meeting. And a couple of central bankers are speaking out this morning about the future of interest rates. And we get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard tells the Financial Times that U.S. monetary policy needs to be tightened to a point that it curtails economic growth or policymakers will risk their credibility. He supports a half a percentage point increase next month and says the rate should move up sharply after that. Richmond Fed President Thomas Barkin says the central bank should raise interest rates to the neutral range as quickly as possible and can move above that if price pressures continue. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thanks. UK inflation rose more than expected last month to a 30-year high. Consumer prices rose in March at an annual rate of 7%. Higher inflation is on the way. This month, there will be a 54% increase in the energy price cap.
And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated wealth management and institutional firms rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. 6:07 on Wall Street, 55 degrees in Central Park as our coverage of the aftermath of the subway shooting in Brooklyn continues. Let's get the very latest. Once again, Michael Barr is with us. Michael?
Nathan, thank you very much. Reaction and information continue from yesterday's mass shooting on a Brooklyn subway that left 10 people shot and more than a dozen injured. This man was one of the victims.
You see like a smoke, black smoke bomb going off and then people bum rushing to the back. This pregnant woman was in front of me. I was trying to help her. I didn't know there were shots at first. I just thought it was a black smoke bomb.
The New York City Police Commissioner, Keechan Sewell.
The suspect is a dark-skinned male and was wearing a neon orange vest and a gray-colored sweatshirt. We do have a person of interest in this investigation.
Commissioner Sewell says he is identified as 62-year-old Frank James. A motive remains unclear. New York City Mayor Eric Adams says the city is working to ensure the safety of subway riders.
Immediately, we're going to double down on our patrol strength. If I was not here, recovering from COVID, I would be on that subway system today because I think as the mayor, you have to lead from the front.
Mayor Adams will speak to Bloomberg at 8:45 a.m. Wall Street time. New York Governor Kathy Hochul agrees with Mayor Adams in calling for an end to gun violence.
The last time there was a mass shooting on our subway system, I believe, was 1984. So I don't want to act as if and treat this as a normal experience on our subway. This is a rarity, but one instance like this is one too many.
President Biden echoed what Governor Hochul said.
Jill and I, my wife Jill and I, are praying for those that are injured and all those touched by that trauma. And we're grateful for all the first responders who jumped into action, including civilians who didn't hesitate to help their fellow passengers and try to shield them.
President Biden says his team has been in touch with Mayor Adams and the NYPD. New York Lieutenant Governor Brian Benjamin has resigned in the wake of his arrest in a federal corruption investigation. Benjamin, a Democrat, was accused in an indictment of participating in a scheme to obtain campaign contributions from a real estate developer when he was a state senator. Benjamin pleaded not guilty yesterday after his arrest. British opposition politicians are again calling on UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson to resign. Police are finding the prime minister for breaking his own lockdown laws on COVID. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshauer.
All right, Nathan, after what was obviously a very harrowing morning in Brooklyn, the day ended there with an NBA play-in game at the Barclays Center and a victory for the Nets.
Rebound deflected loose. Brown's got it again. Out to Irving. Left wing. Here's a three. It's good for Kyrie. He still hasn't missed. And Cleveland needs a timeout. Nets match their largest lead of the game. Nets 67 and the Cavs 47. Kyrie is 10 for 10.
WFAN on the call. Kyrie Irving going to make his first 12 shots. He scored 34 points. Kevin Durant added 25. The Nets never trailed. Beat Cleveland 115-108. Now it's on to Boston. Game one of the playoff series with the Celtics Sunday afternoon. Minnesota won the play-in game in the West over the Clippers. The Rangers at the Garden were hoping to knock off Carolina, move into a tie for first in the Metropolitan Division. Didn't happen. Hurricanes with three in the third, won 4-2, and now lead by 4 points. Chris Kreider did score a late goal for the Rangers, became the fourth in team history to score 50 in a season. Islanders beat the Penguins 5-4. Devils won 6-2 at Arizona. Shutout wins for both the Mets and Yankees. The Mets 2-0 in Philadelphia as Tyler McGill turned in his second brilliant outing. McGill is 2-0, has yet to allow a run in over 10 innings on the mound. Max Scherzer starts this afternoon in Philly at the stadium. Yankees over Toronto 4-0. Nestor Cortes didn't finish the fifth inning, so couldn't get the win, but he was outstanding. Followed by four relievers together, Yankee pitchers allowed only 5 hits, struck out 10, did not walk a batter. Aaron Hicks at a 2-run homer. Garrett Cole will start tonight. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are up 13 points. Dow futures up 92. NASDAQ futures higher by 57 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 3/32 with the yield 2.73%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.39. The very latest on the manhunt for the Brooklyn subway shooter next with Bloomberg's Kriti Gupta as we continue our coverage. Stay with us. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Anshin Accountants and Advisors. Challenging times call for proactive advisors who help minimize taxes, increase cash flow, and create opportunities for the future of your business. Visit Anshin.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures on the rise this morning. Bonds are falling as investors weigh inflation risks against the start of earnings season. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 15 points this morning. Dow futures up 104. NASDAQ futures up 61. The DAX in Germany is down 0.9%. The 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 2.74%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.40%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.3% of $1.30 at $101.88 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $6.10 at $19.82.20 an ounce. The euro 1.0828 against the dollar, British pound 1.3007, and the yen at 126.10. And Bitcoin this morning up 1.2% at $39,999. Today we do get another look at inflation with the producer price index at 8:30 Wall Street time. And J.P. Morgan Chase, BlackRock, and Delta among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The New York City Police Department, according to the latest information, the gunman in yesterday's subway shooting in Brooklyn is still on the loose. NYPD Commissioner Keechan Sewell.
As detectives processed the crime scene, they recovered a 9mm semi-automatic handgun, extended magazines, and a hatchet.
Police are looking for a person of interest. He is identified as 62-year-old Frank James. In the NBA, the Nets beat the Cavs in the Eastern Conference play-in opener. Brooklyn now faces the Celtics on Sunday. In MLB, the Yankees, Mets, Red Sox all won. The Giants won and made history. Alyssa Knocken became the first female coach on the field in a regular season game after the original first base coach was ejected. The Nationals, Orioles, and A's lost. In the NHL, the Islanders won in a shootout with the Penguins. 5-4. The Rangers lost. Devils and Capitals won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak as we continue our coverage for the ongoing manhunt for the suspect in the Brooklyn subway shooting. Bloomberg Radio and TV correspondent Kriti Gupta was in Brooklyn yesterday as this investigation was just getting underway. Kriti's with me now in the studio. Kriti, good to see you. There have been so many developments in just the last less than 24 hours when this incident first began at the 36th Street station. Get us caught up on what we know so far, what police are saying about what unfolded yesterday on that train.
Yeah, well, let's just start off with the events here. You did have essentially gunmen who had open fired in a subway car on the N line. This is for our international audience, essentially a very key kind of subway line that goes straight into from the residential areas of Brooklyn into the heart of Manhattan. So a lot of people who live out there in Brooklyn actually use it, especially in the morning commute. So this call to the fire department happened about 8:24 a.m. And the reports were essentially that a gunman had open fired and after releasing two smoke canisters, put on a construction vest and a gas mask, and then had fled the scene. Off that, 10 people had gunshot wounds, another 13 injured. And since then, we know that there is a person of interest that's linked to the crime scene. We don't know if he is the gunman necessarily, but police and FBI agents are looking for Frank James, about 62 years old, as you just heard Michael Barr report. And this, again, was linked to keys that were found to a rented U-Haul van with addresses going back to Philadelphia and Milwaukee. Once again, that found on the subway platform.
So the police have not confirmed then whether this Frank James, who they've named in this investigation, is actually their prime suspect at this point.
Right. And they're very careful about this. You can see that language is obviously a very key thing that they're keeping in touch. They're not saying that he is the gunman or he's the shooter, just that. And they were very clear that this is the only connection we have to Frank James. It's these keys to a U-Haul van. And they made very clear. The other thing that they were very clear about was that this was not an act of terrorism. They very, of course, we know there's a sensitive history with New York City on that, and around the world, frankly. But he was saying, or the gunman was saying, or the, excuse me, the police commissioner was saying, to be very clear, that this was an act of terror, and the assumption was that the gunman was acting alone.
Yeah, they have said explicitly that they are not investigating this as an act of terror at this point. But something that we've seen throughout New York City history for decades, of course, is ebbs and lulls when it comes to violent crime in this city. Of course, Eric Adams, the mayor, campaigned on fighting crime, being tougher on crime, supporting police, and trying to instill confidence in a subway system that has been decimated by COVID.
Yeah, and it's really tricky here because a lot of the kind of issues with some of this investigation is that things like the surveillance cameras had malfunctioned. You had routine police checks that were supposed to happen across every subway platform. They did happen, but there was no police presence when these events unfolded. So there was a lag in terms of getting help to the people that were affected. So to Eric Adams' point, yes, there's a lot of kind of push to get people, especially in New York City, back into the city 5 days a week. New York City really lagging some of the other major cities in America from that perspective. But also, this doesn't necessarily help. You are going to start to see a little bit of hesitance. Just yesterday, actually, in the evening commute back home, you saw a lot of people choosing other modes of traffic or transport, I should say, cars, where you had Uber and Lyft remove their surge pricing. You had them take buses. You had them some just walking on foot, taxis even. So those are all going to be questions that Eric Adams has to answer. How does he make New York City safer?
Yeah, and when I was riding the train yesterday, I noticed significant police and military clothes presence around a lot of the subway stations. Is that what commuters can expect this morning and in subsequent days?
They can probably expect that this morning. This is not just a New York City story. We've heard of heavily armed presences across the country, L.A., Philadelphia, Chicago, all really amping up their presence, even though, once again, to really emphasize, the police force here did say that this was not an act of terrorism. This was an isolated event, and they are still searching for the man that is the person of interest, as well as the shooter.
So a lot more questions questions to be answered. We know you'll be asking many of them and gathering much more information. Kriti Gupta, Bloomberg Radio and TV markets correspondent with us this morning, had been in Brooklyn yesterday as this investigation was getting underway. And we should note that we will be speaking later this morning with New York City Mayor Eric Adams. He's going to be joining Bloomberg Radio and Television at 8:45 Wall Street time. So you want to make sure to tune in for that conversation later this morning on Bloomberg Surveillance. Looking ahead to the market open, futures are moving higher. We have S&P futures up 14 points right now. Dow futures up 104. NASDAQ futures higher by 52 points. The 10-year Treasury right now down 5/32. The yield 2.74% now on the 10-year note. And the yield on the 2-year, 2.41%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy, especially in times of crisis. Make your giving impactful. Visit jcfny.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston,
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco,
Bloomberg 960.
To the country,
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe,
the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by Interactive Brokers Simple IBKR Global Trader App. Deposit in your local currency and trade stocks in the U.S., Europe, and Asia. Start your free trial at IBKR.com/globaltrader. Up first, the New York City Police Department has identified a person of interest in yesterday's subway shooting. 10 people were wounded and 13 were injured in the attack. NYPD Chief James Essig says officials are looking for 62-year-old Frank James.
We are endeavoring to locate him to determine his connection to the subway shooting, if any.
Chief Essig says James is a person of interest in the incident. More on the manhunt coming up shortly in local news.
In the meantime, Karen, in Washington, the U.S. is preparing to send roughly $750 million in military aid to Ukraine as it battles Russia. And President Biden has some strong words for Russian President Vladimir Putin. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the latest.
This is the first clear declaration without equivocation.
I called it genocide because it's become clearer and clearer that Putin is just trying to wipe out the idea of even being able to be a Ukrainian.
And says it affects the rest of the free world in a number of different ways.
Your family budget, your ability to fill up your tank, none of it should hinge on whether a dictator declares war and commits genocide a half a world away.
The use of the word showing a major shift in verbiage. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Turning to the economy now, the Fed's keeping a close eye on inflation as a couple of central bankers speak out about interest rates. We get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard tells the Financial Times that U.S. monetary policy needs to be tightened to a point that it curtails economic growth or policymakers will risk their credibility. He supports a half a percentage point increase next month and says that the rate should move up sharply after that. Richmond Fed President Thomas Parkin says the central bank should raise interest rates to the neutral range as quickly as possible and can move above that price if price pressures continue. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Renita, thanks. On Wall Street today, J.P. Morgan releases earnings. Bloomberg Intelligence expects loans to be a strength while seasonal weakness will likely drag on the credit card business.
And S&P futures are higher, up about 17 points. Dow futures up 119. NASDAQ futures up 63. And the 10-year Treasury down 4/32. The yield 2.73%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.40%. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Straight ahead of your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
6:33 on Wall Street, 55 degrees in Central Park as we continue our coverage on the manhunt for the Brooklyn subway shooter. Michael Barr is back with the very latest. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. Police continue to search for the gunman who opened fire on a subway train in Brooklyn. Tuesday morning's attack left 10 people wounded by gunfire. NYPD Chief of Detectives James Essig.
Brandishes a Glock 9mm handgun. He then fired that weapon at least 33 times, striking 10 people.
Chief Essex says the search is focused partly on a man said to have rented a van possibly connected to the violence. Investigators stress they weren't sure whether the man, Frank James, was responsible for the shooting, but authorities say the 62-year-old is a person of interest. Victims from yesterday's shooting on the Brooklyn subway are talking. This man says he was trying to help a pregnant woman after smoke bombs went off.
She said, "I'm pregnant with a baby." I hugged her, and then the bum rush continued. I got pushed, and that's when I got shot in the back of my knee.
New York Mayor Eric Adams.
We're telling anyone that's approaching anyone that they believe is suspicious to notify the police department. But at this time, the person is not apprehended. There's no reason for us to believe that he's not still armed.
Mayor Adams will speak with Bloomberg later this morning, starting at 8:45 a.m. Wall Street time. New York Governor Kathy Hochul.
It has to end. It ends now. And we are sick and tired of reading headlines about crime.
Governor Hochul visited the hospital where some of the victims were admitted. New York Lieutenant Governor Brian Benjamin resigned from office after being charged with funneling illicit donations to one of his past campaigns when he was a state senator. Governor Hochul says the resignation of her second-in-command is effective immediately. Benjamin pleaded not guilty to bribery charges in federal court in Manhattan after he was arrested earlier in the morning. He was released on a $250,000 bond. British opposition politicians are calling on Boris Johnson to resign after it was revealed the police are fining the prime minister for breaking his own COVID lockdown laws. Johnson will be spared a grilling in Parliament today. It's adjourned for the Easter recess. And sad news in the comedy world, Gilbert Gottfried has died at the age of 67. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshaw.
Thanks, Nathan. Talk about a busy sports night in the Big Apple. The Rangers were at the Garden. The Nets played in Brooklyn. Yankees in the Bronx. Islanders were home as well. The Nets, due to the new NBA play-in system, had to win a game to gain entry to the NBA playoffs. They got it, although a 22-point lead was cut to 6. The Nets beat the Cavs 115-108. Kyrie Irving scored 34 points against a team he used to play for, and now he's going to face another team he used to play for.
At Boston, I'm grateful to play against one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference that have been playing well all year. It's another challenge for us, another test. But I think we've answered a few questions towards the end of the season where we were in the 10th spot, and then all of a sudden, one day later, we're in the 7th spot, and we had the opportunity to win some games in a row.
Nets-Celtics should be a great series. The Celtics finished the season going 26-6. Game 1, Sunday afternoon in Boston. Minnesota beat the L.A. Clippers in the West play-in game. Rangers lost to first-place Carolina 4-2, but Chris Kreider did score a late goal. He joins Vic Hadfield, Adam Graves, and Jaromir Jagr, only Rangers to score 50 goals in a season. Islanders beat Pittsburgh 5-4. Devils won 6-2 at Arizona. The Mets rotation, already with Max Scherzer. He'll pitch today. Hopefully Jacob deGrom at some point back from injury. And Tyler McGill, 2 starts, 2 wins, yet to allow a run. McGill and the Mets won 2-0 in Philadelphia, a home run from Brandon Nimmo. Yankees also with a shutout. Nestor Cortez and 4 relievers teaming up for a 5-hitter, 10 strikeouts, no walks. Yankees 4-0 over Toronto. Aaron Hicks with a 2-run homer. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Okay, John, thanks. It's 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks now. Some of the names moving in the pre-market. For that, we're joined live this morning by Bloomberg's Laura Wright. Laura, great to have you with us. Obviously, first quarter earnings in focus, but I see you're starting off with a deal in the pharma space.
I am, yeah, Antares Pharma. Now, the Dow Jones are reporting that Halozyme Therapeutics are close to buying the maker of needle-free systems. They've offered $5.60 per share in cash, and this deal values Antares at roughly $960 million. As a result, ahead of the bell, Antares Pharma up almost 50%. Another pharma deal in focus for me, Nathan, was Sierra Oncology. London-listed GlaxoSmithKline, they've offered to buy this company for $55 a share in cash. So pharma, it's where all the action is at this morning.
Yeah, all the action, sure. But of course, we are waiting for a lot more action, particularly in the financial space. Obviously, we got JP Morgan reporting results in just a few minutes here, but we've already heard this morning from BlackRock.
We have the world's largest money manager, BlackRock, reporting a first quarter AUM of $9.57 trillion. Now, slightly below the estimates at $9.62 trillion, but I have seen some analysis that actually that is pretty much in line. Adjusted EPS, $9.52, above forecast. You know, revenue was a slight miss, but what is interesting this quarter is that they conducted $500 million of share repurchases, and they've seen strong demand continuing for alternatives. Volume still a little too low to look at pre-market for BlackRock, but when it opens at the bell, one to watch.
Yeah, and obviously JP Morgan is going to be a stock to watch as well when those earnings come out. Are we seeing any movement in either JP Morgan or any of the big six ahead of the results?
Yeah, with JP Morgan right now down 0.4% in pre-market trading. And the primary concern for analysts is what volatility from the war in Ukraine means for the US bellwether bank. Investment banking will be in focus. Trading will be in focus. How the trading business in particular was able to deal with some of the wild market swings we've seen at the start of this year. I saw one analyst from Credit Suisse writing that he is cautiously optimistic. So make of that what you will.
All right. Bloomberg's Laura Wright with us this morning, taking a look at the pre-market action as we await those earnings from JP Morgan Chase. They're expected sometime around 7 a.m. Wall Street time. We'll be bringing you those headlines as they cross the Bloomberg terminal. Should also mention we've gotten earnings from Delta Airlines coming in with revenue that just about went in line with analyst estimates, and we're seeing movement to the upside for Delta right now, trading higher by nearly 4% in the pre-market. As for stocks as a whole, they're moving higher on this Wednesday morning. S&P futures are up 21 points. Dow futures up 148. NASDAQ futures higher by 87 points. The 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd. Now the yield 2.72%. Yield on the 2-year 2.39%. Seeing a surge in crude at the moment. NYMEX crude up 1.7% to $102.31 a barrel. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mostly cloudy today with a high near 70. Scattered showers tomorrow, maybe a late day thunderstorm with a high near 80 degrees. Mostly sunny Friday with highs in the mid-60s. Right now, 55 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated wealth management and institutional firms rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com. And we are watching earnings cross the Bloomberg. We're hearing from JP Morgan Chase, and we're going to break those down in just a second. But first, you want to go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the green right now. Dow futures up 125 points. S&P has gained 20, while NASDAQ futures rise by 87. You mentioned JP Morgan. They did just report Q1 adjusted revenue was $31.59 billion. Estimate was $31.44 billion. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.74%. Gold is up 12. Oil is climbing. And Bitcoin is up by 0.9%. Japan rose 1.9% overnight, while European markets are trading mixed this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, the producer price index. Regarding other earnings this morning, BlackRock EPS beat estimates, and Delta is up 5% pre-market after its numbers. In other news, Google will invest $9.5 billion in offices and data centers in the U.S. And wrapping things up, CarMax was cut to neutral over at J.P. Morgan. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The New York City Police Department has identified a person of interest in yesterday's chaotic shooting at a Brooklyn subway station that left 23 people injured, including 10 shot. The shooter remains at large. NYPD Commissioner Keechan Sewell.
At this time, we still do not know the suspect's motivation.
Commissioner Sewell says keys found at the scene of the attack belong to a U-Haul van rented by 62-year-old Frank James. In the NBA, the Nets beat the Cavs in the Eastern Conference play-in opener. Brooklyn now faces the Celtics on Sunday. In MLB, the Yankees, Mets, Red Sox, and Giants won. The Nationals, Orioles, and A's lost. In the NHL, the Islanders won in a shootout with the Penguins, 5-4. The Rangers lost. The Devils and Capitals won. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is 6:49 on Wall Street. And as Karen mentioned, we are watching earnings cross the Bloomberg terminal from J.P. Morgan Chase. Let's go right to Bloomberg Intelligence senior analyst for global investment banks, Allison Williams, as we watch these numbers cross. Allison, as Bill Maloney just mentioned, the revenue came in at estimates, but the red headline from these numbers, a miss on investment banking.
So there is a miss on investment banking, but trading, I mean, that fixed income number coming in much better than expected. And that was really, I think, sort of a wild card coming into the quarter, just because there was strength in so many products and things were moving around a lot in the quarter. So that's a good thing, and more than makes up for the shortfall in fees, which we knew were going to be weak. But the big, I think, number that investors are going to be focusing on is the loss provision. So the bank did take a reserve build of almost $1 billion, $902 million to be exact. And this follows several quarters of reserve releases. And this was really the metric that we said we're going to be focusing on, and we did get a much bigger number than we had expected. And so now the question is, what are the economic expectations that are baked into that number? The stocks have really traded off on recession fears in recent weeks. And this is one of the, I guess, confirmation that there is some economic, there's some worry on the horizon, but we'll want to hear a little bit more about exactly what's baked in there.
Yeah, we've gotten a few comments early from the CEO, Jamie Dimon, saying credit losses are still at historically low levels and remaining optimistic on the economy, at least for the short term. At the same time, as you mentioned, those credit costs are pretty high. What does that potentially say about the medium to long term?
So I guess the big change with loss provisions, which happened right as sort of the pandemic took hold in early 2020, is that banks don't just look at what's happening now. They have to look at what's happening over the life of that loan. And so to the extent that there is a higher probability that we could have a recession in 2023 or potentially 2024, that has to get baked in today. And banks like JP Morgan and Citigroup that have very big credit card portfolios, keep in mind that those tend to have higher loss rates. And so that gets magnified with this type of accounting. Inflation is something that is a concern, especially for the consumer. We also have geopolitical risks sort of raising risks to the global economy, which could sort of filter back to the U.S. And so losses are good today, but are there risks ahead? Yes. And I think it's prudent, obviously, to plan for those by accounting laws. They have to plan for those. The other number that we haven't seen that we're going to want to hear about is loan growth. The expectations were that loan growth would be about flat in the quarter. As I said, JP Morgan does have a pretty big card book. That's a little weaker, but we're going to want to hear about the demand trends in that loan book.
And watching shares of JP Morgan Chase right now down about 1%, more than 1% now in the pre-market. Bloomberg Intelligence senior analyst Allison Williams, as always, thanks for breaking down the early numbers. Of course, we'll be checking back with you as the bank earnings season goes on here into tomorrow and next week, actually. In the meantime, we need to check what's going on in D.C. at 6:53 on Wall Street. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Biden now accusing Putin of genocide in Ukraine, the U.S. preparing a massive new surge of military aid, and Russia facing hard-to-verify claims of chemical arms in Mariupol. Also making news, of course, this shooting in the Brooklyn subway, Washington, official Washington, giving its reaction to that as well. Let's bring in Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins for more on all these stories. Emily, what has the president said when it comes to the violence that we've seen in New York this week?
So we know that, of course, Biden has been briefed on the shooting, that he obviously has condemned gun violence. I mean, we saw that rollout just earlier this week with him trying to target the 3D printing of guns. At the same time, though, it really does seem like there's still a lot of limits on what can be done in terms of actually moving legislation that deal with guns and firearms. The Democrats in the House have kind of moved what bills they can. Obviously, they can pass things easier there as they have the majority. But a lot of things that Democrats want to see, those background checks, those bans on assault weapons, those are still stalled in the Senate at this point. So really, you are hearing it's mostly, you know, lawmakers who are sending their condolences, who are expressing their concerns. But it's really unclear if what we saw in Brooklyn yesterday is going to actually lead to any big changes in Washington.
Well, we have heard a big change from President Biden, though, when it comes to his rhetoric in the war in Ukraine. He has accused Russian President Putin of war crimes in the past. Now he is using the word genocide.
Yeah, Biden said yesterday in Iowa during a stop that he did call it genocide, and he clarified that he did so because it's become clear and clear that Putin is trying to wipe out the idea of being able to be Ukraine. That's something he told reporters yesterday, saying the evidence was mounting. But let's be clear, Nathan, this is not yet the official White House position on this. Biden and White House officials said they would ultimately leave it up to lawyers to decide whether or not genocide had been committed by Russia. And you saw National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan go ahead and say last week that they haven't seen a level of systemic deprivation of life that would need to that would rise to the level of genocide. But it is something that the U.S. and other countries are monitoring. Certainly, there are already those looking into war crimes that have been committed by Putin. And I think there's a lot of concern about what this trajectory of the war is going to mean for the people of Ukraine.
All right, Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins with us from Washington. Thanks, as always. Read more at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, it is 6:56 on Wall Street. Let's turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked a top 50 national public university by U.S. News and World Report and a top 10 for best career placement among public schools by the Princeton Review. More at njit.edu. And now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. 2021 was the deadliest year in U.S. history. The main reason for the increase in deaths, COVID-19, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Deaths rose in 2021 to more than 415,000, up from 351,000 the year before. Experts blame new coronavirus variants and large numbers of Americans refusing to get vaccinated or wear masks. A new study says climate change made the record-smashing, deadly 2020 Atlantic hurricane season noticeably wetter, and scientists say it'll likely make this season rainier, too. Human-caused climate change made the entire season 30 named storms drop 5% more rain. During the 14 storms that reached hurricane status, the rainfall was 8% heavier, according to the study in Nature Communications. And Apple plans to add a highly anticipated blood pressure monitor to its smartwatch. It has hit some snags, and the technology is not expected to be ready until 2024 at the earliest. Sources say the company has teams working on an updated sensor and software for the Apple Watch that would determine if a user has high blood pressure, but accuracy has been a challenge during testing. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.